marker at the foot of the path. A ways later, the glacier was here in 1925. Then the glacier was here in 1935. We walked on, sometimes slipping and stumbling on the rocks left in the glacier's wake. The glacier was here in 1942. We helped the children on the steepest parts of the climb. The glacier was here in 1982. By the time we reached the marker showing where the glacier was in 1992, the message these markers conveyed was growing painfully clear. At the 1992 marker, we were only about halfway from the parking lot to the glacier's current position. You're probably already doing the math. In the last 25 years, the glacier has moved roughly the same distance it had moved in the previous 149 years. I could go on about shrinking glaciers and the truth they tell us about the damage we're doing to the environment God has entrusted to our care, but that is a sermon for another day. Because what I must name today is the myth I was once privileged enough to believe. enslaved by the powers of this world. Like Joseph, we have brought it on ourselves, to be sure. Those of us in positions of privilege have been wearing that privilege like a robe with long sleeves. Like Joseph, neither are we entirely to blame. That robe was handed to us not because we deserved it, but because our lives were seen as more valuable than other lives. We are culpable, and simultaneously ensnared by a system in which hatred of those who differ from us, who are not as privileged as we are, is as old as time. We are sinking. The boat we thought was sturdy is being tossed around like it's made of popsicle sticks. We are being shown in these days just how frail, how thin the veneer between us and the storm waged by hate really is. Not only are we inside the storm has made its way inside us. We are sinking. White supremacists spout Nazi slogans like blood and soil. Yet our president, who is characteristically unapologetic about offending people, goes out of his way not to offend white supremacists or to implicate their actions as evil. With the same lips that threaten nuclear war as if it's a game of chicken, the leader of our nation generically condemns hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides, instead of specifically condemning the actions of domestic terrorists. Never before have I so deeply questioned what year this is. Never before have I been so confused about who we are. Never before have I prayed so fervently for the soul of this nation. Now, I'm well aware that I have just agitated approximately half of you, so I stop here to clarify. If you think this sermon is about politics, you are mistaken. Our political stances and the deep divisions they cause are systems of an underlying illness. They both reflect and impact the way we treat other people, the way we other people. This sermon is not about politics. This sermon is about whether we today have more or less capacity than our predecessors to look into the face of our neighbors and see in them the beloved image of God. We are sinking. And this sermon asks, what will we do in the midst the storm? Will we have the courage to say of nuclear war, as George Kent once did, for the love of God, for the love of your children, and of the civilization to which you belong, cease this madness? You are mortal men. You are capable of error. You have no right to hold in your hands. There is no one wise enough and strong enough to hold in his hand destructive power sufficient to put an end to civilized life on a great portion of our planet. We are sinking. As the storm rages about us, will we be able, with integrity, to recite and to live the Belvoir Confession of the Presbyterian Church, USA, which says in part, we reject any doctrine which sanctions in the name of the gospel or of the will of God the forced separation of people on the grounds of race and color, and thereby in advance obstructs and weakens the ministry and experience moved on.